By the power of Grayskull, I have the power. Oh, no. Actually, I'm dead. Bummer. It appears you've all been duped.
Dubfon goes hard.
See you later, popcorn bitch.
Those 7 days have almost passed.
The wheelbarrow full of
dicks.
Dicks.
Come and revel in the carnival-like proceedings.
Hey, it's Drunkard STL on Twitter.
Hold on to your fucking hats, everybody.
WFOD.
Kids, I never heard of that.
Hello.
Thing we call the Dubfod. My name is Mike. I am joined, of course, by my good friend, Mr. Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
Somebody.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype.
You can call anytime during the week and leave us a voicemail.
Yep. Or you could call right now.
Well, anytime. Anytime you like.
I don't give a fuck.
This is America. You do what you want.
Guys, coming up after the break, we are going to be talking to actor Rob Sedgwick. He has a new book out.
Sedgwick, that name sounds familiar.
Rob Sedgwick is Kira Sedgwick's brother. He is Kevin Bacon's brother-in-law.
Crazy.
The Sedgwick family, it goes back generations, Drunk.
Generations and generations since the motherfucking pilgrims.
Indeed. Guys, so much going on in the world to talk about. Drunk, there was a curious tweet that was quickly deleted.
I must have missed it. I didn't see it.
It caught the internet by storm this week, and I wanted to read it to you and get your thoughts.
Please.
Flora E. Gill, she says that she is a... She's verified. She's a writer for GQ. I think she has a podcast, but she had a tweet that a lot of people were debating about on the interwebs this week, Drunk. The tweet says, "Someone needs to create porn for children. Hear me out. Young teens are already watching porn, but they're finding hardcore aggressive videos that give a terrible view of sex. They need entry-level porn, a softcore site where everyone asks for consent and no one gets choked, etc." What do you think, Drunk?
So, she's proposing what our generation called Skinamax.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, is that what she's saying? I think that's
kind of what I got out of it.
So it's like rated R sex. It just looks nice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that still exists. I mean, Cinemax still has stuff on at night.
Who watches Cinemax, though? These kids aren't watching Cinemax. They're watching shit on their phone.
So,
me and you had to watch Cinemax.
Yeah, we did. I used to record it on VHS tape and make like compilation videos and hide them in the...
We couldn't just hop on this random pocket device all willy-nilly.
You know, the now that I'm thinking about it, the VHS tapes might still be in the drop ceiling in my parents' basement.
Might want to go check that out on the next Thanksgiving.
Now that I'm thinking about it, they might still very well be up there because nobody looks there. Nobody like goes.
No.
Let's look in the ceiling tiles.
That'd be an excellent viewing party for a Dubfod. Hey, check out all this fucking 90s titty porn.
I had a lot of Gene Simmons' wife's name.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, there was a lot of her.
Yeah,
she was on Cinemax a lot. When you saw her, you knew that she was going to get those big heavies out pretty quick. And I had the scene from Fair Game with one of the Baldwin brothers and Cindy Crawford. That was on the tape.
Yeah. Well, what was that movie back in the day where the chick was the stepsister and fucked her stepbrother? That was a big movie.
Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. Cruel Intentions.
Man. See, they don't make shit like that no more.
They don't make them like they used to, drunk. But yeah, so I what she's saying, I guess, is that the kids, they can access the porn because you go to the website.
And it's too hardcore for entry level.
You know, now that I think about it, I don't even think you have to lie and say you're over 18 anymore.
No.
You just go there.
You can just go to YouPorn and...
It's just there.
Check it out.
It's all there.
What you got for me?
And so I guess what they want is for like child protection, to where the kid goes to the website and they just see nice stuff, where they fuck gently.
You don't always have to fuck her up.
Maybe that's what she's saying, but yeah, the internet was like, you can't make child porn, lady. You can't.
So she wants like a...
I think I understand the sentiment.
A 13 to 17-year-old aisle, if you will.
Like a, do they still sell candy cigarettes?
No.
Those are gone, right?
Can't find those.
I used to walk up to Nagel's. I used to get candy cigarettes all the time. And then I'd just walk home with one dangling out of my mouth and be like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cool. Look at me.
And by the way, you walked there by yourself.
Right.
You didn't have mommy or daddy take you with
nope.
you.
Nope. Walked.
Nowadays, this person behind the Nagels would be like, where's your mommy or daddy?
So, essentially, she's talking about like the porn version of candy cigarettes. Maybe it's just instructional. Like the joy of sex, but...
So kind of like trying to learn how to fix your sink. It's a YouTube.
Like you putting condoms on bananas.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I kind of get where she's coming from, but it just can't work, especially in 2021.
Well, see, and the thing is I guess that what she's saying is the children, they just go into their first sexual encounters and start slapping gals around. They're not ginger about it.
Right? Well, it's funny too because like,
they think that the gals want
anyone I watch where they like start slapping titties and stuff. I just know how that doesn't fly at my house.
you don't watch titties getting slapped and say, yeah, I'm gonna go home and try that. You don't do that.
Tried it once, won't try it again.
I think that's probably where things should be, right? You try everything once, and when your partner says, "Hey, I don't like that," then you say, "Okay, won't do that again." You don't know till you try.
Amen.
Maybe these children who are learning their bodies will find something out about themselves. This is gross. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
You're the one that brought it up.
I did because I wanted to explore what she was trying to say, because that's what I like to do, Druck. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Sure. And you like to, you know, talk about the matters of the day.
Speaking of giving people the benefit of the doubt, the thing with the Scarlett Johansson. Do you see that Scarlett Johansson suing Disney?
For what?
So Scarlett Johansson had a deal with Disney, and her deal was strongly structured to where she would receive more money depending on the box office of the Black Widow movie.
Okay.
So if the Black Widow movie made a fuckload of money, she would get said fuckload of money.
Right.
So
this was probably agreed on pre-pandemic?
Right. Because they made that movie pre-pandemic, and then they just kind of held on to it because they're like, well, we don't want to release this during the pandemic. Nobody will go see it.
Because the theaters weren't open.
Right. So They held it, and finally they just said, you know what, fuck it. We'll put it out in theaters, but we're also going to put it out on Disney Plus.
Right.
And so Scarlett Johansson, she looks at that box office, and she says, you know,
I should get some of these stream money, too.
Yeah, like, I should get some of this streaming money, too, because that's what my deal was. My deal was, you know, however many motherfuckers watch this shit.
Right.
You know, like, they watched it, sure, because it's a Marvel movie, but partly because, like, I sold it. You know, I'm fucking Black Widow. I made this movie to make some money.
Absolutely.
You got to know what you're worth, drunk. You know what I'm saying?
1,000%.
And
Scarlett Johansson is worth every
and
dime.
And she's suing Disney. Who gives a fuck?
Right. I mean,
she's not suing, like, a guy working at Dunkin' Donuts.
No, yeah. Suing Disney is like suing Amazon. Fucking,
sue Disney.
They got all the money in the world.
Guys, if I can encourage you to do anything, it's that if you have a reason to sue Disney, sue them. And she does. She has a great reason because, like, they made a deal with her that, you know, she's going to make the box office, and then they changed the deal.
Right.
So
well, when you go on Disney Plus, they got the big five conglomerates that they own, and none of those are cheap either.
Right.
Well, they own ESPN, Disney, National Geographic, and then what were the two other ones?
ESPN?
Yeah, that's the first one. Yeah. Regardless, they make more money than they know what to do with.
Yeah, and the thing is, they knew that was in the deal. They were just hoping that she wouldn't notice.
Right.
Like, you know, you probably could have called Scarlett up and, I mean, like, how much money could it have possibly been? I'm sure you can afford it, right? You just cut her a check, say, look. Right.
And I'm sure it'll get settled out of court and here's your extra $8, $10, $20 million, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, how much could it really be, drunk? Because they wouldn't have made that deal if it was too much.
And it's a drop in the bucket to them. Who cares?
Who gives a fuck? Like, you know, we make the Black Widow movie or we don't. We'll just make a different Marvel movie.
And we'll make another Marvel movie and make fucking $200 million opening weekend on that.
They're making one now with just some Chinese guy. drunk, I've been fucking following comic books my whole life. I've never heard of Shang-Chi.
Right.
I don't know who this fucking guy. They're out running out of superheroes.
They'll just start a new show or reboot a whole thing that needs to be rebooted. And
I think they just made this one up. I think they just said, you know what? Fuck it, Shang-Chi's a Chinese guy. He runs around and karate chops people.
They probably did. I mean, at this point, at some point, they're going to have to.
Right, because, I mean, like Captain America, we've already done Captain America.
You run out of source material eventually. And, well, I mean, they just got X-Men back, so they can start doing some of that.
Kicking that tree again. And they're going to do the Fantastic Four again. You wouldn't think the Fantastic Four would be this hard, drunk. It's four guys. They go up and they get zapped with an alien laser. They get superpowers.
Chris Evans going to be in this one again?
No. And the second batch with Whiplash, he's not going to be in the new one either, I don't think. Probably going to do Doctor Doom again. Right?
Yeah.
Get another... Rockman, who's bummed out that he's a rock man. Like, you guys all get to kind of look like you, and I look like a big fucking rock man.
Should I try out for rock man?
You should. I think you got the chops for it.
Yeah.
You say, guys, I could be a good rock man.
He don't have that many lines, does he?
I don't know. He says, it's clobbering time. Is that the Hulk? The Hulk says Hulk smash.
Movies. Yeah, I don't know.
Is it the Thing or is it It?
I can't remember. I think it is the Thing. Now you say that.
The Thing? It is the hand from the Addams Family.
Yep.
Sue Disney, go for it. Emma Stone, she thinks, I think she's going to wait in the weeds and see how Scarlett does, and then she might sue too because she was in that Cruella de Vil and she had the same deal.
Was that movie any good?
Cruella de Vil? It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's fucking funny as shit that the Dalmatians killed her mom. All makes sense now.
Yeah, well.
Fucking.
Spoiler alert.
First 5 minutes of that movie, she's a little kid. She goes out on a balcony and fucking Dalmatians come and kill her mom. They look like they did it on purpose, too. Look, drunk. You kill my mom, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
You know, people have come for people for a lot less.
They have.
So, yeah, drunk, we're talking to Rob Sedgwick, pretty excited about that. He has a book coming out. It's called Bob Goes to Jail. It's about him going to jail.
Oh, yeah, that's good to ask. What's that about?
The other fun lawsuit going on is, I don't know if you...
Do we got a new music lawsuit?
Well, kind of drunk. The band Journey.
Okay.
So
with the Asian guy?
Yeah, I think he's Filipino.
It's Philippines is still in Asia, last time I checked.
I was just being more specific. I guess it sounded like I was correcting you, but I was just letting the people know it's still the same Filipino guy. There's the keyboard man and the guitar man. And then the drummer and the bassist, they've been in the band a long time. Like, they've been in the band since, like, the 80s, but they aren't OGs.
So zero originals.
No, the guitar man and the keyboard man, OGs.
Okay.
So, and I don't, guys, don't rely on us for news. But so,
or the knowledge of the band Journey.
So the bass man and the drum man, they had a secret meeting with, like, the board
to kick out the Filipino guy,
to kick out the rest of Journey, like, not from kicking them out of the band, but, like, not making them the guys in charge anymore. Like, they had like a coup to change the power structure.
A mutiny, if you will.
Yeah. And they had like an awesome name for their
kick-ass band.
Company, which why would they need a company name? Just be like, yeah, we're fucking Journey.
I mean, they realize that they're Journey, right?
Yeah,
they got their two songs, one that everybody wants to hear,
Nightmare Productions.
The other one that most people know, but are just like, eh, why don't you play the one song everybody knows?
Yeah, they have a bunch of good songs. They have a Filipino guy singing them that they found on YouTube. So Neil Schon and John Cain.
So Journey comes to St. Louis.
Yeah.
How many tickets are they selling?
Probably a lot.
They ain't selling out the Savage Center.
They were just here like a year or two ago at Busch Stadium with like a couple other the 80s openers, people.
Though.
No, they're not. It was like them and Poison or something.
And they sold out Busch Stadium?
I wouldn't say they sold it out, but they justified existing in that building, I guess. So anyway, they had a secret meeting of a Nightmare Productions where the bassist and drummer for Journey were like, guys, bored. I would come to you to suggest that maybe we should be in charge of Journey.
Yeah.
And so Neil Schon and Jonathan Cain or Herman Cain, he's dead. Is Herman Cain dead?
Perry, is that one of them?
The guitar man and the keyboard man found out about the attempted coup.
Yeah.
And fired the other guys from Journey.
Huh.
So now Journey has to find new guys from the Philippines to play bass and drums. And then eventually...
This sounds like some movie bullshit. Like,
like a heist. They had a secret meeting with the board. That's amazing.
Right. Or like, you know, ain't there like a scene of Batman where they take Bruce Wayne's company from him?
right. In the middle of the night while he's sleeping, right? All right, no, he doesn't sleep at night. He's
while he's recovering from.
Yeah, he sleeps during the day because at night he does his Batman stuff. But I guess everybody thinks that he's up philandering because that's his persona.
Right,
he's a philanderer.
That'd be a great persona. Right?
So let's make this movie where there's a secret heist to try to take over the band Journey. And like, what do you think will happen? Like, when guitar man and keyboard man find out that, like, you're now in control of Journey. Due to this secret meeting. Like, are they just going to keep showing up?
Who fires you? The other two bandmates?
Who fires who? Well Neil Schon...
You said the bassist and the drummer.
And keyboard man fired the guys who tried to coup them.
Right.
And the Filipino guy, he's still singing.
So,
but if the,
so the keyboard man and the bass guy are the original guys.
Yeah.
And the bassist.
And they formed and Nightmare Productions.
Drummer have been in since the 80s.
Yeah.
But wanted the power.
Yeah. But what happens
so
if they get
the power? So who tells the bassist and the drummer that they're fired?
I don't know. I guess.
The board?
The board was in on it. I guess they fired the board, too. See, we got to get a movie about this or a documentary or something because, like, it's reading.
Were drugs involved?
I mean, probably. It's rock and roll, baby, right? Sounds real fucking lame, but maybe it's cooler than it sounds.
Were weapons involved?
No. The meeting was in secret.
How do you know?
They did not try to take the band by force. But let's say...
He's just like OJ. He's just trying to get his stuff back.
Let's say the coup goes through. And like they are now the coup in goes charge through. Of
they're,
Journey.
They're in charge.
Like Neil Schon just accepts it and shows up? That's the plan?
I don't know.
Drunk. Well, you are... The bassist of this program, wouldn't you say? You're the rhythm section.
Okay.
You're the bassist and the drummer. It's fine.
I was thinking I was more of the tambourine player, but...
Let's say you went and like, you seized control. And, like, you're in control now.
I'm the captain now.
Like, what do I do?
Look at me. Do
I just show up every week anyway?
I'm the captain.
You're like, hi, drunk. Thanks. I'm glad to be here on your podcast. Yeah. What do? I don't come.
Thanks for showing up to my house.
I'm locking my door. You're not coming in. You can't have my microphones.
Thanks for using all my equipment.
What I'm saying is the heist was doomed to fail to begin with, unless I'm not understanding something, because it sounds... real fucking goofy.
Let's buy a studio, like an actual studio.
Yeah. And
so I can overthrow you. And me and Travis will run the podcast.
That would be fucking funny. I kind of wish you guys would.
I honestly want zero part of that. That's way too much work for me.
You
do way too much, and I do not have.
Do you remember our friend Benny from Pod Cheese?
Absolutely.
He had a bunch of friends in Philly who I think this guy like built like this real fancy recording studio in his basement, and he charged people like $75 an hour to come record their podcast.
That seems fair.
And he would produce it, like he would sit behind the board and make sure everybody sounded good. And like he set up their live streams and all that. So they would just show up, do the show, give him $75, and then he'd go downstairs and record it for him.
Sounds like a pretty good.
And I mean, first of all, $75 to record a podcast is a lot. But I guess if you want that professional look and sound,
yeah,
you pay it. And if there's... five
and,
of you.
And if you can get it.
Yeah. If there's five of you and you all divide it up, it's not really that much. And you get to have fun and do this shit. I mean, this is fun. And probably we end up paying for it. But we end up paying for it and probably not sounding as good as someone would in a professional studio.
Sure, but we're not paying $75 a week.
Right. No, not even close. So I guess that's probably doable. Like, and I don't think there's anything around here. Like you start a studio, you put in some nice stuff. I guess you can record podcasts whenever you want, cause it's your fucking place. And then you charge other dipshits to use your stuff.
Yeah.
And then eventually it pays for itself. Right.
In theory, man, could you imagine a WFOD ran with me as the point? That'd be the worst show ever.
We should try it just like one week.
I mean, we can. I'll have to come up with some stuff.
Yeah. Well, I won't prepare anything next week.
Oh, you gotta give me more than a week, buddy.
We do it every week, drunk. Get with it.
See, now you know how it feels. You come up with material every week, goddammit.
So, guys, I urge you to figure out the journey situation and let me know, because like, I read it and I don't understand it, maybe because I'm not a thinking man.
Well, you know, we got this YouTube channel now. Maybe we could act it out. Make our own movie.
Make our own journey movie?
Yeah.
And be like, I think I should be in charge of Nightmare Productions.
Yeah. Travis will be our Filipino guy.
Don't tell Neil. Guys, I think what we're going to do.
Here's what we're going to do.
What do you think, Troy?
Tell me what we're going to do. I need you, Mike Moore, to tell me what I want to do.
We are going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back,
Rob,
we are going to talk to Rob Sedgwick.
Sweet.
So yes. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I guess I woke up this morning with a little case of the fuck arounds.
Live. Online and on your smartphone.
Strangelabel.com.
Tail slapping is a method dolphins often use to stun their prey. But it doesn't seem to work here. The fish are tantalizingly close.
Simple and free, a feeling fun. Just you and me and a happy sun.
WFOD. In 1978, Bob Seger made a song raging against modern-day trends, claiming he wanted some old shit. In the 42 years since, this song and its references have become themselves old shit. We reboot movies all the time. RoboCop got a terrible modern adaptation. You've seen modern takes on things that weren't even popular. They remade The Grudge, Hitman, Doom. And I can think of a couple songs covered that updated a reference. Britney Spears changed shirt to skirt. The Ataris changed Deadheads to Black Flag. But my friends, old-time rock and roll, it needs some work. And luckily for us all, I have lots of free time.
Give them one. Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is an actor and now author of a new memoir chronicling his life of crime and consequences called Bob Goes to Jail. It's available now in bookstores and Amazon. Guys, Rob Sedgwick is on the program.
How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. I've been listening to the audiobook all day. I have an hour left, so don't spoil the end for me. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know how much jail time you get and or if you get dusted. So
I won't say a word.
Okay. So
I will tell you.
What made you want to write this? What was the thing that
I think it started off as, it was funny because it started off as a one-man show because I thought it was a really good story. And I have a friend in L.A. and I was, he said he had written a screenplay about it in the early, you know, like very early 90s, but before computers and stuff. And he said he'd lost it. So I said, you should write it. Send me, you know, what you have, because I was a little, because I didn't consider myself a writer and stuff.
Right.
And, so I did that, and with the intention of doing a one-man show, and after about 30 pages, he said how much he liked it. And I said, one-man show? And he said, well, it's not really a one-man show. I hate to tell you this, but you're writing a book. And I thought, well, I don't know how to write a book. And he said, okay, but you're writing one. So why don't you just keep doing it?
So this guy wrote your story?
Very good friend of mine. He said he had written a screenplay about it in the early 90s, but he'd lost it.
Oh.
And he said, so why don't you write, you know, you should write your own thing and just see what happens. Because he thought the writing was terrific. And I did it. And I thought it was going to be a one-man show, you know. And he said, it's a book, which it ended up being. So that's how it started. That's how it came to fruition, as one of the guys would say in the book.
So I guess it still can be a one-man show, right? You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, conceivably,
right?
But that's like a lot of work. I mean, that's really a lot of work.
When you write something like this, like when you write your life story, are you thinking in the back of your mind, well, shit, now nothing else can happen, right? Because you wrote the story of your life. I mean, you get it all in here. Now you can't do anything interesting, right? Or it won't be in the book.
Well, I don't know. Finish the book and I'll tell you. No, I'm really boring right now. I'm alive, so thank God.
The next chapter would just be, I just hang out.
I don't know about that, but just, no. I mean, that's just like I got sober a long time ago and just, you know, had I kept going the way I would have going, I would have been dead a long time ago. So, no, I just prefer to be alive and boring.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. I guess that makes for good story when the only voice of reason in this whole thing seems to be the dog.
That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. Tibble. Yeah.
The dog, you'd come home and the dog would, you would kind of, were you like projecting things on the dog? Like the dog is telling you what you're doing is screwed up? And
no, I mean, I think a lot of people seem to get that there was something else going on with him. And I think I said it in the book that one of my sister's then best friends said that, and she was a brilliant woman, and she said that he was a prince traveling under a curse. And then there was one guy, I think I have a line about the guy in a bar, one of the guys at the bar saying, yo, Rob, there's more going on with that dog than just dog. And there were a couple of times that, you know, I, you know, fell asleep, cigarette, I don't know if you got that far, but that he would just wake me up before it started burning and like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, it's just like, so he's, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've had animals or dogs or stuff like that, but sometimes you get one that just something else is going on.
Rob, I have two dogs. One of them's fairly new and I like him okay, but I have one that I've had for like 2 years and I think I'd probably take a bullet for this dog.
Well, that's what I mean. It's but it's also, I don't know what he's like, but you know, you hit a dog sometimes that there's just something more going on. You know
right.
what I mean? They just seem like, you know, they're watching over you in a way. And, so that's what Tibble definitely did. You know, I mean, it was like, yeah. So, and he was not happy with the whole thing. And as I said in the first chapter, I mean, they were flipping out, the DEA, and he was the one who just went calm and like, yo, just chill, man. And he knew that like the chiller he was, that the better it would go. So he really, it was, you know, Yeah, he was pretty amazing. So,
I guess to catch people up, you got caught with 500 pounds of marijuana in your apartment.
Yes, sir.
By the DEA. And
yes, Drug Enforcement Agency. Yes.
And you kind of got into it because you wanted to make a friend, right? You saw a guy on the street and you were like, hey, this guy could be my friend. I should help him deal his drugs.
Well, he was an old friend of my brother's. And I said in the book, I felt particularly lonely at that time, and acting wasn't going well, and I wasn't feeling so great about myself. So what the hey?
He saw this guy and he said, hey, he's friends with my brother. He could be friends with me too.
Exactly. It's the stupidest thing in the world. So, you know, and I think I said at the end of that chapter, on that day, God created the moron, me. So, you know, it was just like, I mean, it's when I wrote it down, it's so stupid, but it's true. You know, I mean,
is it weird looking back on it now? Because, I mean, you were doing that and you were thinking that was all good ideas. And now you're writing it like in a very funny way. It's funny to read. But I mean, you were doing that stuff. Is it weird?
In the process writing it, I was laughing out loud because it was so stupid, but it was true. And so it was funny to me. And at the time, I don't know. I think when we look back on certain things that we did that were inane, they're probably funny, you know, in retrospect, you know, and so, it was just,
How long were you actually
stupid?
How long were you actually getting away with it? Like what's the timeline for how long?
I think if you remember, there was one of the chapters I went to see a brother of a guy who used to work for us, who was a lawyer, and he had done 2 years for cocaine distribution. And he said that, these guys have been doing this for a while. So it's just only a matter of time before you're caught. And so I ended up in it, I think about 2.5-3 years.
That's a really long time.
More like 2.5. And he said, it's a good life, but it's a short life, you know, and sure enough, we got caught. So, one of the guys, Jordan, who was head of my particular end of it, said, after we were caught, he said, well, there's organized crime and then there's disorganized crime. And I guess we were disorganized.
But I mean, to get away with it for 2.5 years is pretty good, I guess. Or maybe it's not good.
Yeah, but I mean, we were dry for a lot of that, you know. I mean, it's just like, it was very... You know, it was a lot of it. That's why, because anytime it ever comes up, people are like, oh, it's only pot, who cares? But then you say 500 pounds. I mean, that's a quarter ton. That's a lot.
And during that period of time, weren't you like booking more jobs than you ever did? I mean, as far as being an actor and stuff, because you just didn't really.
Oh, yeah. I was doing great.
I guess, were you negging people? How were you? I guess you just had the confidence in knowing you didn't really need it.
You know, you feel like James Bond, you know, when you're doing that. And there's a lot of it. And I think I described it to the guy who was a lawyer who told me not to do it anymore, who had done 2 years for cocaine distribution. When I was describing it to him, he was just, his eyes brightened because you feel like James Bond, you know, you feel really cool and all that shit they do in the movies and get away with. You know, it was kind of high flying there for a while. But the thing is, I hadn't done it long enough to know what the consequences could be. And of course, when the consequences happen, then you're just like, oh my God, you know, it ends pretty quickly. So, I mean, the whole romance and glamour, and then you're in jail. So it's right. Like, you know,
maybe that's good advice for people looking for jobs and stuff, is to look for a job when you don't want a job.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it seemed, and I mean, like, your agent was calling you and saying that this whole thing is great and we can use this, and people think that, like, you're a bad boy, and You'd be booking.
Yeah, I was like capitalized on it, you know. But I didn't want to get my, I didn't want to bring attention to my sister and brother-in-law who are pretty famous. And he said, "Rob, they have all the attention they can. They have the attention. You don't have any attention. You need all the attention you can get. Don't be an idiot."
Well, so, that and I mean, it probably wouldn't be bad for them either, by his definition. I wouldn't think. You know? Oh, I have.
Yeah, they were doing. Yeah, but they were doing well enough. They really didn't need it. You know.
Right.
So.
Glad that you're doing better and still with us and all that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not. Well, now, I mean, no. If I kept up like that, I would have been dead long ere this. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, I got sober and so I've been very dull for a long time.
Does that give you like a different outlook on life? Like when you've been there and come
like
back from
story,
it?
Well, it's like the story. I mean, it's like, as a friend of mine said, it's like your life has just so much stuff in it that you can write, which is great, but it's like and I wouldn't say it's boring now, you know. I'm a dad and I've been acting school and I write
other, yeah,
you know, so it's interesting, but I mean
it's a different kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's much more, it's calmer. I mean, but if had I kept on doing that, I'd be dead soon. I mean, it's, you can't keep that up. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's insane, you know. It's absolutely insane. So, and I'm lucky I'm still alive, you know, so, and I'm really grateful for it. So, you know, so that's kind of my nut in the life show. How does the guy sound who's doing the audiobook?
That guy's great. I even looked him up to ask you about him. Roger Wayne is the guy's name, and he's great.
Oh, good. You're enjoying it.
Do you get to pick the guy who does it? Cause he's top notch.
No, no. Oh, that's good. I'm so glad you're enjoying it.
He does all the voices. This guy, guys, if you're listening, the audiobook's top notch. This Roger Wayne guy, he's good. Well, why didn't you do your own? Did you not like your voice, or did you not get the option? Or
no, I don't know. I don't know how that happened. It's just the publisher turned around and said it was done already. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I figured that I would have been doing it, but you know, but if this guy did a great job, that's wonderful. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, he's good. The other question that I wanted to ask you is about the dryer sheets, the bounce dryer sheets. Is that like a How to Drug Deal for Idiots book or something? Like, how do you?
No, they were a pretty streamlined operation. And when we got like the first load I did, it was really vacuum packed in that bubble wrap, and there was bounce in there. The thing with the bounce, it's such a strong scent to offset the smell and stuff like that. But it was a, you know, our stuff came in from Mexico, and as I said, the book, the family was a, you know, multi-generational bunch of gangsters, and
so they already had the bounce dryer sheets advice. They just passed it along to you.
Yeah, I mean, they said that that's the way to go, and they had never been caught up until we were caught. So, you know, they.
I heard that bounce dryer sheets repel mosquitoes. Have you heard that one?
That sounds like a good one, but that's a great thing to know.
You put a bounce dryer sheet in your pocket, and it keeps mosquitoes away. It's probably not true.
Great,
they're probably just making all this stuff up.
Who did you get that from?
I don't know. It's probably, you know, passed on word of mouth, and it's probably not true. So I probably shouldn't even repeating it. But it might be.
I don't know. Maybe I'll give it.
I mean, you have dryer sheets. You might as well just stick one in your pocket. Why not? Right?
Yeah. Give it a shot. I don't know. It sounds good to me.
So where should I send people? Should I got robsedgwick.com? I guess you have links.
Just go on Amazon and there it is. Bob Goes to Jail. And or BarnesandNoble.com too, Bob Goes to Jail, and they will send it to you.
You got like social media, like @Rob_Sedgwick. Is it?
Oh, it's a RobSedgwick.com. Yeah. We had a big thing in the New York Post yesterday. We've been in magazines. We've been in, oh my God. I'm doing a thing at Bryant Park in New York City tomorrow. I'm doing the Australian Today Show next week.
Australia has their own Today Show. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess it's like the Today Show only in Australia.
What time you got to get up to do that?
That's a really good question. I have no idea, but they're going to do it on Zoom. So I don't have to take a plane and stuff, which is a relief.
So guys, the book is Bob Goes to Jail. It's available on Amazon now. Get it. Check out the audiobook, because this Roger Wayne, he's top notch.
Oh, I'm so glad, man. That's terrific.
Yeah, Rob, we appreciate your time, man.
Okay, Mike, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks, man. You know,
yeah.
All good things, you know.
They do say that.
They say that. I've heard it. I've heard it before. I didn't come up with that phrase, believe it or not. It's been around. All good things, though, they come to an end.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Rob Sedgwick, am I right?
He's an interesting cat, man.
Good guy, that Rob Sedgwick. He had 500 pounds of marijuana in his apartment. And they caught him. And you know what they said?
What's that?
You can't do that, man.
Well, I mean, I feel like nowadays, depending on what state you're
in. It's a different time.
Yeah, it's a different time. Yeah.
You probably still can't. Is there a limit to how much you can have?
Well, I know in Missouri, there's three different stages of growth. And you can have 14 of each. So that would make 14, 28.
No, like, give me an estimation.
42.
I'm not a
42 plants.
A weed man. How much is a pound? Like, give me like a estimation of like size. Like, what would it be comparable to? Like a basketball? Volleyball?
No. So, well, you gotta think more of like a long stick.
A long stick.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I know of a person who was growing, and the buds from their plant were half pound a piece.
Oh, the buds were half pound a piece.
Yes.
It is like a thing of grapes.
Imagine about three pine cones put together. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, what I'm trying to imagine is if he had 500 pounds in his apartment, like, so what kind of imposition would that be? Like, would it be bigger than your couch?
Probably. So with that much, it's probably compacted in trash bags.
Yeah.
So when you compact it, it makes it a lot more heavy.
It's like those mattresses you get in the mail.
Yes.
So you do the X-Acto knife, and then it goes.
Well,
right?
Well, no. It would.
Do you think that sound effect will pop up on audio? This is a podcast. I went.
It, yep.
Right.
It would stay dense until you yourself made it fluffy.
Okay.
But regardless, you're probably looking at least the size of this table here.
So pretty big.
Pretty big. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drunk, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
And boy, do I have a great tale for you after I ask it.
Okay.
You probably saw it.
Maybe.
But
I've been a busy boy this week. So.
Do you have what you would say Is like a pick of the week, something
yeah,
like
that? Sure. So Drunkards, pick of the week. It is the first week of August. That means NFL training camps have started.
Yeah.
Which means it is mock draft season.
Oh.
For your fantasy football teams.
Are we going to do that this year?
Well, you're the commissioner. You tell me. I'm defending champ. I would have backed out, but I can't not defend a title if it's being defended.
You would have backed out?
Well, I wanted to 2 years ago because I'm not the biggest fan of your guys' rules.
What's wrong with the rules? Oh, it's something about receptions, isn't it?
Well, that and...
Let's just change the rules. Who gives a shit?
we voted on it, and I got voted down last time.
Yeah, but I mean, who voted against you? I'll kick them out of the league.
Pretty much everybody. but yeah, get your mock drafts in. Know who you want to take.
I guess the rules deal. Probably weren't that rough on you if you won the whole goddamn thing, right?
Well, I mean, I'm in multiple leagues, and my knowledge of the NFL is... decent.
Guys, reach out to Drunk for advice on your mock drafts because he is a defending champion. He's a big deal.
I had considered branching out to do just a bullshit fantasy podcast one time, but...
You were going to go rogue, Drunk?
I wouldn't call it rogue.
You were going to use your...
There's
your,
many people that do multiple podcasts.
Branch off?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Because
I probably wouldn't have used the Drunkard STL alias.
Oh, my God. Would you have gone by Ryan?
I don't know what I would have gone by.
Hey, guys, it's me, Ryan, with your football picks.
But who wants to get advice from a man named Drunkard? That seems silly.
I think that people know better than to doubt the Drunkard.
If my mouth... finding out things blindfolded.
That's what we ought to do, Drunk. We ought to put two football picks in your mouth every week and see if your mouth can pick football games.
That's funny.
Drunk, fun story. So Travis was going to be here, but he opted out because he's feeling under the weather.
He's got that COVID?
No. He's got mucusy stuff. I think they say...
Sounds like COVID.
The COVID's all dry. And he's wet.
He's moist, is he?
Yeah. And so what I asked him is, well, Travis, can I share with you what my pick of the week is? And so I just started typing because I knew he was going to say yes. What is he going to do? Say no, I don't want your pick of the week?
Right.
And so I hit enter.
If it would have been me, I'd have said no. Just because I know how to push your
buttons. When I hit enter, he also told me what his pick of the week is. And it was the same pick of the week, Drunk.
Crazy.
On HBO Max right now. This is a double pick of the week.
Travi P-Pants and Mike.
On HBO Max right now, there is a documentary about Woodstock 99.
Ooh, do tell. I remember. That was right in the heyday.
And they interview a lot of people.
Well, didn't they jump around in the poop?
They jumped around in the poop. Yeah, they set shit on fire.
Yep.
And the organizers blamed the whole thing on Fred Durst.
Which he didn't have, he sang the day before, right?
Well, I mean, he played break stuff, but I
figured... But that was the day before.
Some shit went down that night, too. Oh. The whole thing was a clusterfuck, Drunk. It was bad news from the get-go. I think what they did is they...
Well, never mind that every angry band... Of the 90s.
They booked Limp Bizkit,
played.
Rage Against the Machine, and Metallica back-to-back on the same night. everybody was having heat stroke.
I can't remember. Was Korn there, too?
Korn was there.
Yeah.
It's great, Drunk. There's a couple of times where it kind of veers a little bit. It could have been about 40 minutes shorter than it was.
Some documentaries are like that.
But it's great. You got to check
Tiger
it out.
Tiger King probably could have been one less episode.
Maybe. Yeah, that one about the gal that jumped in the water tower, that one could have been like 20 minutes. Like, schizophrenic broad jumped in the water tower. The end.
Yeah, that's it. Sillies.
So, yeah, guys, the...
So it's called Woodstock 99.
It's called like Music Box or something. Maybe they're going to do more music. Maybe it's a series.
Okay.
But if you search on HBO Max for Woodstock 99, you'll find it. It's great.
I wish I had it, but
check it out.
I'm sure I could find somebody.
Yeah, borrow somebody's password, drunk. Okay, you'll figure it out, guys. Somebody send drunk their HBO Max password,
please. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and that's it, right? We did it.
Fuck
we
yeah,
we fucking did it.
Another week in the books. Look at us.
Yeah, we'll
just chugging along.
My guess is we'll probably do it about 7 days
from now.
If I was a predicting man, I were to put two options in your mouth, we only need one. We'll be here.
What's our next milestone? Like 700?
No, I mean, we're at like 415.
I thought we already had 500.
We had 515? We've done too many of these, Drew. we should have done something better with our time.
I'm Dill Danon.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. To enjoy our back catalog, visit WFODshow.com and be sure to share the show with a friend. Thank you to our Patreon sponsors for their continued support, Amanda Napier, Liquid Lozenge, Valerie Carpenter, and Brian Kranz. If you would like to donate to keep this pirate ship afloat, visit patreon.com/WFODix. Follow us on social media, email any one of us with our name at WFODshow.com, or leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. A thank you also goes out to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music we used this week. Until next time, signing off. Goodbye.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.